Turn in your Bible, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. And we're going to look at verse 1 to start with. It's a verse that most of us are familiar with, I'm sure. Hebrews 11, chapter 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, I thank you for this time that we have together to look into your word. I just pray that you'll use this message this evening as you see fit. Help us to remember the things that you want us to remember. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of my message this evening is Faith Matters. Actually, you can emphasize the syllables of those two words differently. You could say faith matters. And that's really true, right? I have a few introductory thoughts to lay the background before I get to my main points this evening. And we're going to consider faith defined, faith demanded, and faith developed. Now, I came up with this outline pretty much after I put the message together, so I'm not centering the message around the outline per se. Anyway, we're going to look at some foundational truths about faith from Hebrews chapter 11 this evening. We're only going to see a smattering of the verses in this chapter, but I encourage you to read the whole chapter on your own when you have a chance. I believe you'll be blessed by it. Now, the kind of faith that we as believers have in Christ is a simple faith. You might remember from the Gospels that Jesus said those who enter into his kingdom should have faith like that of a little child. It's a faith that trusts in Christ without reservation or complication. Unbelievers don't understand the kind of faith that we have. They may say they have faith in God, but they don't put their trust in Christ for salvation. They don't have that relationship with Christ that we have. Unbelievers may think that doing good deeds, contributing to charitable causes, you know, maybe going to church now and then, those things they think would be enough to please God. Or they think that Christians have faith in fairy tales and in myths. And maybe there are some unbelievers who don't understand the kind of faith that God wants us to have. So I pray that we can each get a clearer understanding about faith today. Now, here's a quote I want to share with you. I don't remember, you know, whether this came from our Sunday school material or some other material, but I didn't write down the original source. But the thought is a good one. Give this some thought. And it says, wise Christians will be very careful not to allow their faith to devolve into fantasy or wishful thinking regarding the truths of God or his word. Many so-called Christians have walked away from God because their faith only consisted of a mystical optimism rooted in their imaginations of God. Once God does not meet their magical expectations, they abandon the idea of God altogether. And that's the end of the quote. I think that's what happens with a lot of these people that leave the faith, or they're deconstructing, as they call it. In any event, may you and I never have that kind of shallow faith. The faith that pleases God needs a firm foundation, and we have that foundation in the Word of God. I believe the Apostle Paul wrote the book of Hebrews, and he wrote with big ideas in mind, as he always did. Hebrews 11 fits into the overall message of Hebrews because Paul had two major themes in mind whenever he wrote Hebrews. Number one, he made the strong case that Christ is superior to anything that his Jewish readers might revere. For example, Christ is superior to angels, to Moses, and to the priesthood which the Mosaic law put into place. And then number two, Paul sternly warned his Jewish readers not to go back to Judaism. They should have faith in Christ, because to have faith in Christ and to walk with Christ is really the only way forward. Paul wanted his readers to endure the persecution or whatever other problems they were going through, and he didn't want them to turn back. Now, the last portion of Hebrews chapter 10 is where Paul encouraged his readers not to give up hope. Christ will come again, and when he does, it will happen quickly. Meanwhile, he tells his readers to keep their faith. He warns them against pulling back. Now, let's look at Hebrews 10, 38 and 39 for just a minute, right there before chapter 11. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Paul quotes from Habakkuk 2, verse 4, when he says that the just shall live by faith. He uses this same quote in Romans 1, 17 and in Galatians 3, 11. Now, becoming a justified child of God comes by faith in the Lord, and the righteous will be sustained by faith. They will also inherit eternal life through faith, and thus we can say the just shall live by faith. Paul expressed displeasure in anyone who would pull back from living a life that's guided by faith in the Lord. You know, certainly the Lord has no pleasure in those who draw back. But Paul went on to say that he didn't believe his readers were like that. They had a faith in Christ that saves. It was a genuine faith, not a pretentious faith. And as I mentioned a little bit earlier, one of the exhortations in Hebrews is endurance. Paul didn't want his readers to forsake the Christian faith and go back to their Jewish ways. Paul tells his readers not to pull back because there are many examples of what faith can do in a believer's life. And thus, we have Hebrews 11. This chapter gives us a crash course in Old Testament history. We see the mention of such greats as Noah, Abraham, Moses, and a host of others. There's no doubt that Paul accounted the Old Testament scriptures as historically accurate. And also, Hebrews 11 gives proof that scripture interprets scripture. Even though the accounts of the lives of Old Testament saints are brief, we're given some details that were not given elsewhere. The scriptures were God-breathed, and they were given by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Everything we read here in chapter 11 is the Word of God, and we can certainly trust it completely. Now, with that said, let's dip our toes into the waters of chapter 11. We first look at faith defined. Consider the words of Hebrews 11, 1 through 3. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Okay, so Hebrews 11, 1 starts out by telling us that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. There's a reality, or there's a substance to faith. We have something we can hold on to. Faith is based on knowledge, particularly the knowledge of truth that comes from the Word of God. Faith is not an unsubstantiated leap of the mind or of the emotions. Faith will not contradict reason, but it may go beyond reason, and that's why some consider our faith to be irrational. They don't understand it. But everybody has faith in something. Nobody trusts in nothing. True faith, true biblical faith, rests on the Word of God. It's trust in the Word of God. Biblical faith is the firm conviction that God will do what he has promised to do. We can truly have hope and confidence in the Lord. Now, the fact that you and I have faith is the evidence that God is working in us through his Holy Spirit. Our faith in God's word means we have something and someone to believe in now, and we have something and someone to have hope in for the future. We walk by faith and not by sight. Just because something is not seen does not mean that it isn't true. When we apply faith to things in the Word of God, which the world just doesn't see, we have the evidence of things not seen. We can have the conviction that the things we cannot see now are real, and God's promises will come to pass. And here's another way that we can look at this. Faith is when we believe in and rely on the truth which God has revealed. As we grow in Christ, the outcome of our faith will express itself in various ways, such as through good works and worship. Therefore, in verse 2, Paul says, "For by it," that is faith, "the elders obtained a good report." In other words, the Old Testament saints mentioned in Hebrews 11 had a good testimony because they put their confidence in God, not in themselves. And that's what made their lives different from so many around them. Their trust and confidence in the Lord brought about character and actions which made their lives noteworthy and set them apart. And thus they were good witnesses with good testimonies, and they still serve today as positive examples for you and me. Now, there's a phrase further down in the chapter in verse 34 which summarizes the impact that faith had on the lives of so many Old Testament saints. And that phrase says, "Out of weakness were made strong." It's not faith that made them strong, it was the Lord, the object of their faith, who made them strong. Now, in verse 3 here, Paul takes us all the way back to creation. "Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." It's clear that Paul believed in the Genesis account of creation, and so should we, by faith, of course. I'm sure you know this. It takes faith to believe in evolution, too, just like it takes faith to believe the Genesis account of the Bible. Everybody will believe in something, and we want to be sure that we are believing the truth. We know from God's word that he started with nothing and he spoke the universe into existence. He's put everything in its proper place. Even the ages of time and all of history have been framed just the way God wants them. And this glorifies him. Now, the next time you read through Hebrews 11, take note that the failures of the saints mentioned in this chapter are not discussed. They're not brought out. This is evidence of God's forgiveness and his grace. Those believers obviously sinned and they made mistakes, but it was their faith which sustained them. And that's what God wants us to remember. He wants us to see what counts as most important for the record of this chapter. These were ordinary people who had faith in an extraordinary God. God took ordinary people, and he didn't let them remain as ordinary. Otherwise, we wouldn't be reading about them. God works in us in a similar way. He takes us as we are, but he certainly doesn't leave us that way. Well, praise God for that, I can tell you. You know, we often call Hebrews 11 the Hall of Faith. The actions of the individuals listed in this chapter seem so heroic, but really, God is the hero. Average people simply trusted in him to do what he said. You and I can also trust God for what he has said in his word. In fact, we must trust God if we are to please him. So let's consider the idea of faith demanded. Now that sounds strong, but just follow here. Hebrews 11, verse 6 gives us the main ingredient for pleasing God. Faith is a necessity, not an option. And this verse starts with a negative statement, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him." Think about that. We cannot please God without faith. And then the thought in verse 6 continues, "For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Anybody who wants to come to God must have genuine faith. The elementary truth that we must believe is that God exists. That's the starting point, but that's easy, or at least it should be, for those of us who are believers in Christ. Then we also need to believe God rewards those who seek him diligently. This is really an invitation. You know, everybody likes rewards. Incentives motivate us. But as a rule, you know, they aren't just handed out to us. We must do what it takes to receive those rewards. All God asks is that we seek him diligently. And someone has called this fervent obedience. Don't you like that? Fervent obedience. So God rewards us in two ways. He rewards us in the here and now with the Holy Spirit's power to help us obey. And he will reward us in heaven one day for that obedience. Now, I want to add here that the faith that pleases God actually comes from God himself. I'm reminded of Ephesians 2, verse 8. You're familiar with it. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. So grace and faith are both the gift of God. And if we are to appropriate this faith for ourselves, we must open ourselves up to it. In general terms, as Paul notes in Romans 6, we must yield to the Holy Spirit. Again, this is the idea of obedience to the Lord. And this is what characterized the faith of the Old Testament saints. When you read the last several verses of Hebrews 11, starting at verses 32, going down through 38, we see a contrast between those who had great victories and those who were brutally persecuted and martyred. Now, we won't look at those verses, but I certainly wanted to point them out. And the point that I want to make here, too, is that not everyone who has faith is going to have prosperity, or they may not achieve great victories. The prophets were persecuted and put to death. Many of God's servants suffered, but that didn't mean that they had no faith. Now, I love the phrase in verse 38, and I've probably told you this before, but this phrase in verse 38 says, of whom the world was not worthy. All these people that Paul mentioned didn't deserve what the world dished out to them. They weren't made for this world. They were misfits here. In fact, so are you and I if we are truly living for the Lord. Now, you know, the unbelieving world doesn't know the joy of a loving relationship with Christ. They don't know what it means to walk with God by faith. And they're missing out. They don't realize their need for Christ. Now, the saints mentioned here in Hebrews 11 lived and died before Christ came. They looked forward to his coming and to a time when they would dwell in the heavenly kingdom. But they didn't live to see all that God promised. Nonetheless, they lived by faith. They proved the truth of Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Paul's readers in the first century, and we as believers today, have received better things in Christ and through Christ. And yet, you know what? We still look for even better things, knowing the future that Christ has for us. And that means right now that we, like the saints of old, must walk by faith and not by sight. Now, here's a challenge for us. Consider the prospect of faith developed. Ask yourself, what can I do to strengthen my faith in the Lord? Well, the simple answer is found in Romans 10, verse 17. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. God's word shows us who our Lord is. It also shows us how he works. How can we believe in him for our everyday lives if we don't know who he is and how he works? Now, what I'm about to say next is going to sound harsh or even legalistic to some, but I'm just going to state the fact as it is. Our faith will only grow when we read God's word every day. We really don't have an option. God's word is as necessary for our spiritual growth as eating or breathing. And I'm not exaggerating here. I'm not trying to sound super spiritual. I'm not trying to set up an unattainable goal here. You know, by the way, there's no substitute for reading the scriptures. Don't assume that you can get what you need from listening to Christian music or sermons on Christian radio. You know, they have their place, okay? But God's word by itself is supreme. Think of it this way. A supreme pizza, you know, one with everything on it, you know, some call it the kitchen sink pizza. Well, that might have all four food groups in it, but it's not as healthy for you as a well-rounded diet. Getting into God's word doesn't have to be complicated. Read a few verses or read a chapter or two every day, you know. Just follow a Bible reading plan if you like. But whatever you do, read God's word. It will draw you in, believe me. And then ask the Holy Spirit to show you what he wants you to know from his word for that day. And as you accumulate spirit-guided knowledge from God's word, you'll be surprised by what God will do within you. In turn, that's going to bear fruit in your life. And let me add this thought as well. You know, reading God's word to grow your faith isn't just some self-help gimmick. That's what I'm not here to push on you. I'm not here to push on a self-help gimmick of some kind. It's true that, you know, God wants to have a better relationship with each of us. But growing spiritually and bearing fruit not only cultivates our relationship with the Lord, but it radiates out to those around us. And this helps us as individuals, but it also helps us as a local body here at Northwood Baptist. If we're thriving as a church, and if we're going to be the light that God wants us to be, you know, we'll need to be growing spiritually so that we can be a light to one another and out in the community. Now, this evening, we've considered faith defined, faith demanded, and faith developed. And I think the best way for me to wrap things up is to quote from Hebrews 12, verse 1, and the first part of verse 2. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Now, don't miss that statement there in verse 2. Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. He gives us our faith. And he brings our faith to maturity. And this goes hand in hand with what Paul wrote in Philippians 1, verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. So God can indeed be trusted. I mean, that sounds so obvious, but, you know, why would we not put our faith in him? No matter what we go through, God is faithful, and we can count on the fact that he keeps his promises. Count on it, walk in it, live in it. Let's close with prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the time again that we've had together to look into your word. I just thank you for Jesus being the author and the finisher of our faith, and may we continue to look to him. Fill us with your spirit. Give us an appetite for your word. Give us an appetite for more of the things that glorify you, more of you and less of this world. Increase our faith, Lord. Strengthen us. Give us revival and encourage us and build our love for you as well. We just thank you for how you are already working in our lives, and may we see more of that. I thank you and I give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen.